Have you been wondering how to affordably fix that crack in your wall or any plaster repairs? Well, Leo is your man. Recently relocated to the Cleveland area from Rhode Island, Leo is an expert in this field with over 30 years' experience, especially on those difficult ceiling or wall textures. Call Leo at 401-651-5757 and be sure to save his number. Once again, that's 401-651-5757.
Shalom, saints of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my lovely wife and teacher of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my love. Shalom, my friends. Let us, as always, open the program by asking for God's blessing.
Okay, Abba Father, we humbly approach your throne of grace as we thank you for the merciful cross of your Son. May we strive passionately to build your kingdom, granting us your shalom during these dark days that requires much courage to speak the real truth while showing true love and compassion to anyone you put in our path. Watch over President Trump and bless our listeners tonight. Hear the prayers of your afflicted ones, and may you sustain them till healing comes their way. May this program glorify you as we ask this in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Well, Israel's enemies tried it again.
Well, this is the season of Passover.
That's right. And that's when Hamas decided to do what was originally billed as just a Gaza sit-in to protest against the blockade border wall with Israel, but turned out to be some terrorist attacks. Hamas bussed thousands of Gaza residents to the border with Israel to begin what they had planned to be a six-week protest campaign ahead of the 70th anniversary of Israel's independence. Gaza's surrounding wall has five doorways into Israel, and Israel patrols them heavily so to keep Israeli citizens safe. But this protest was really a campaign for the right of return of Palestinian refugees and their descendants to their former homes in Israel that they willingly left prior to the 1967 war. So that absolutely can never happen, because doing so would just end the Jewish state, and everyone knows that.
Yeah, last I heard, the IDF killed approximately 20 protesters,
including 10 who belonged to armed groups in Gaza. The IDF asserted that the protesters opened fire on them and threw Molotov cocktails, launched burning tires while throwing rocks at its soldiers, and, of course, trying to infiltrate Israel's borders. But now, just after a few days, it's over, thanks to probably no Arab backing. You know, Saudi Arabia and other Arab nations, well, they recognize that they really do need Israel and the United States to help protect against an ascendant Shiite Iran and a restless Turkey. The old Palestinian alliance with the Arab nations has frayed, who now see Palestinian demands as more of an inconvenient obstacle to a necessary strategic alliance with Israel. Prioritizing Palestine is a luxury most Sunni Arabs feel they now can no longer afford. And let me just tell you, this has never happened before. It's absolutely breathtaking to be alive watching the end times unfold.
Yes, it is pretty amazing to see.
Mm-hmm. And why now that so-called peace treaty of Daniel 9:27 is more likely than ever before to become a reality.
Yeah, because the Arabs will push the Palestinian leaders into it.
I know, undoubtedly. So anyway, over here, President Trump has said he wants to remove our troops from Syria against the advice of many, using Obama's withdrawal as an example of what happened before. However, as I reported last week, we now have military bases in Saudi Arabia, in Israel, and in Jordan. And the question occurred to me, are we leaving Syria because we are going to bomb the area due to the infiltration of Iranian bases in Syria and in Damascus?
We are still watching for Isaiah 17 to be fulfilled.
All right. And Saudi Arabia and Israel don't want the Iranians in Syria at all. So if that is not the real reason, then we are abandoning the Kurds, which Iran and Turkey would be thrilled about. And I can't see us doing that, especially because then the Kurds would probably be pushed into allying themselves with Iran. And that would add to their land bridge to Lebanon, completing their caliphate. Iran already has more than 250,000 proxy forces, directly or indirectly, under its influence around the region. We are just not being told the real backstory.
Nor should we be told.
Well, you are right about that. And we will know in the fullness of time. So Russia's doing a tit-for-tat with the closing of 60 U.S. consulates, and China is doing a tit-for-tat as well by increasing tariffs on approximately, I think it said 128 U.S. goods in retribution of our aluminum and steel tariffs.
Looks like a trade war is brewing.
You think? Trump's move is next. Meanwhile, we all are watching over 1,000 immigrants walking from Honduras through Mexico headed for the United States-California border. Who is planning to let them in? But Texas has already called in the National Guard, whose governor says, no way, Jose, are you getting into Texas? President Trump is threatening a NAFTA reconstruction that would hurt Mexico if they don't detain the immigrants in Mexico. So we'll see, but by the way, this was all organized by an anti-Trump People Without Borders group to challenge our sovereignty.
Hmm. Okay. Questions and comments are always welcomed to Shofar, I'm sorry, to Sheila at shofarministry.net, or call the office with your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Please consider tucking in a love offering, and we'll be sure to add you to our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your added learning. And you can begin teaching on the tabernacle this week, Thursday and Friday night.
I can begin, and I will. This Thursday, April 5th in Menor at Lakeshore Assembly of God, 8880 Lakeshore Boulevard, 6:30 p.m. promptly, I was told to say. Also on Friday, April 6th, the next night in Chesterland, Ohio at the Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's actually Route 306, and that's at 7 p.m. Then back on Thursday, April 19th, to Lakeshore Assembly of God again in Menor at 6:30 promptly for part two.
Loads of typology and gold nuggets.
Amazingly so.
So we might as well stay in this same vein since you did some tabernacle teaching on last week's program.
Yes. You know, it's such an amazingly detailed piece of work and can easily be a lifetime study. But as it should be with any teacher, we just want to stir you up, as Peter says to do, by doing your own Holy Spirit-led personal study. Now, last week, which is up on our webpage, we talked about Jesus as the Lamb of God in the Seder Passover meal, as well as the other edibles.
And the four cups of wine.
Oh, yes. And we also saw how the washing of the disciples' feet after the meal represented the laver, and how we must wash in the water of the word, or we cannot progress for him to use us.
That really was eye-opener to many who sent some grateful emails on that.
Yes, and we really did appreciate those. We also looked at there being only one entrance into the tabernacle, as in only one way to the Father through Jesus, and that the court was fenced with white linen curtains, the same linen he was wrapped in as the baby called swaddling cloths that the priests also wore under their garments.
And the same linen that he was wrapped in at his death.
Amen. And I really like the typology of John's gospel as a whole.
Right. Dividing it in three sections matches the three sections of the tabernacle.
Yes, it does. In the first 12 chapters, we have our Lord's birth, ministry, and sacrifice on earth, to which all the people are included, just like they are in the outer court containing the brazen altar and the laver. Then chapters 13 through 17, he's in the holy place teaching just his true students, his disciples, where he reveals the Holy Spirit as the coming comforter.
Representing by the oil and the menorah.
Yes. Then in chapter 17, he's praying to his Father, represented by the golden altar of incense. Then at the end of the gospel, Jesus enters the real Holy of Holies right after he's risen to present himself as the wave offering to his Father, and then again at his ascension, where he still is sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us, which is why we pray to the Father, but always through the name of his Son, Jesus.
God is a God of order and so much detail.
Oh, really? It's proving there is a God, for only God could have arranged it all so precisely and written all in his word. It really saddens me that so many just barely read it.
Some not at all.
Like I said last week, he can't use you if you don't wash in the water of his word.
Ephesians 5:26.
Amen.
Okay. Why study the tabernacle?
Well, because it's in the Bible.
Well, that's a good reason.
And it is the most concentrated and specific revelation of the person and work of Christ contained in the scripture, where at least 50 chapters of the Bible are devoted to it, either by the construction, description, or just its significance, especially when you realize that only two chapters are used to record the creation of the earth. But in reality, not that surprising, since the tabernacle was God's dwelling place on earth,
which was a replica of his dwelling place in heaven, according to Moses and the letter to the Hebrews.
That's right. And Numbers 9:15 addresses it as the tent of testimony, for God was with them and seen by the cloud during the day and the fire at night to guide them to where they were to go next. So the tabernacle was, well, it was like a pledge and proof that God longs for his redeemed people to have a relationship with him.
Yeah, it's a permanent reminder that they were God's people.
Yes, we too, even more so, of course. We're able to have that relationship because he now dwells within us. We are his tabernacle, which, by the way, is what the word tabernacle means.
To dwell.
That's right. It is our guarantee that we will see God in the fullness of time, first in the temple in heaven, and continuing back here on earth in his kingdom. We have been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, the guarantee of our inheritance, Ephesians 1:13 and 14. But, you know what, let's also read Ephesians 2:14 through 18.
For he himself is our peace, who has made both one.
That's Jews and Gentiles are now one.
And has broken down the middle wall of separation,
represented by the torn veil in the temple, which was torn when his flesh was pierced.
Having abolished in his flesh the enmity that
enmity
that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create himself one new man from the two, thus making peace.
That's right. Jesus abolished any separation that once came from sin, and now both Jews and Gentiles have become one, and is confirmed in verse 16.
That he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off.
That's with the Gentiles.
And those who are near.
And that, of course, was the Jews.
For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father.
And that is the beauty of the gospel. So tonight I want to particularly teach on the menorah, the only source of light in the holy place that shined forward on the table of showbread and the altar of incense. So the menorah, also called the golden lampstand or candlestick, stood at the left side of the holy place. It was hammered out of 1 talent, or approximately 125 pounds, of pure gold. As in the laver, there were no specific instructions about the size, which is the type of the church having no limits to its ministry and influence. 7 lamps holding olive oil, which is, of course, the type of the Holy Spirit, with its wicks, stood on top of the 7 branches. Each branch looked like that of an almond tree, containing buds, blossoms, and flowers, totaling 66 ornaments, which is a type of the 66 books of the Bible. Now, the almond tree was the first to bud or come to life in the spring. And, of course, that's a picture of Jesus being the first fruits of the resurrection, which just happened to be on the Feast of First Fruits in the springtime, and, of course, in fulfillment of the scriptures. Aaron's rod was also from the almond tree and budded in the morning. You can read about that in Numbers 17:8. Now, the priests were instructed to keep the lamps burning continuously, as our light should shine continuously. So let me ask the question. Why do Christians seldom recognize the menorah as a symbol for the church? You know, the cross is our most accepted sign, and rightfully so. In fact, the formation for the camp of the 12 tribes of Israel is in the shape of a cross stationed around the tabernacle in the wilderness, which is why Satan has polluted it with pagan occult practices, where you will see many wearing an upside-down cross. Satan has also polluted the Star of David. But the menorah, well, that's never been maligned as far as I know, but maybe because it has been neglected in Christian circles, it's probably ridiculously thought of as only Jewish. So we unfortunately overlook its importance, its relevance to the church, even though it is spoken of very highly in John's revelation from Jesus, which was specifically written to the church. Right in the beginning, in chapter 1, verse 12, John has a vision of Jesus standing in the midst of the 7 golden lamps. Then, in verse 20, Jesus tells John that these lamps represent the church age, which he then chronologically unfolds in the next 2 chapters of Revelation, and when taken in their order, prophetically does outline church history in remarkable detail. There is no doubt we are living in the Laodicean era today, the lukewarm church, where the first church of Ephesus started off the church age 2,000 years ago. In fact, Jesus tells them in Revelation 2:5 that they had lost their first love, so to repent, or he would remove their lampstand from its place. So there you go, it's the lampstand symbol again. So in the holy place of the tabernacle, and later both temples, there had to be a 7-lamped menorah lit at all times. So each morning the priest would refill the oil so it would never go out. Now we can see typology at its best here because of Revelation's interpretation. It tells us the lampstand is the church. Now the menorah, which is the lampstand, way back in the book of Exodus, was first a type of Christ, and now it's the bride of Christ because Jesus lives in us, whose light must never go out either. So we must keep filling it with the oil of the Holy Spirit through his word. You want more Jesus? Get in the Word. You want more Holy Spirit? Get in the Word. And if you want more God, get in the Word too, because you've got the Trinity that lives inside of you. And I've given you scriptures to support that many times. So, by the way, we can see why Hanukkah should be important to the Christian. Not only is it the season of Jesus' incarnation that we've talked about many times and will again soon, but after the Maccabean victory, when the temple was cleaned and rededicated, there was not enough oil. But God kept the menorah miraculously lit till it was properly processed. Why did he do that? Because it was a type of the coming church whose light must never go out. You know, we can glean so much from typology, and it is very important that we use it to help our continued growth in Jesus. It really does help you to grow. And it's fun, fun to look for. Makes the Bible even so much more interesting. Anyway, isn't it interesting that Israel's coat of arms, also called its state seal, includes the menorah surrounded by two olive branches, and that's based on the vision of Zechariah 4. But the olive tree is a type of Israel, and we know that by reading Romans 11. So we can see that the church, represented by the menorah, is encircled by Israel on their own state seal. I don't think they realize that the menorah represents the church, but we're right there. You know, God orchestrates everything. And by the way, I often wear a necklace of this type, on the menorah inside the olive branches. And you can actually purchase that if you need to or want to on the internet. Just do a web search on menorah necklaces, and there's a boatload of them. So anyway, in Romans 11, verse 17 and 18, it says, "We have been grafted into the olive tree, but to remember that the root supports us, not the other way around." Don't you think there should be more of us that desire to know our roots, even if it's only a little bit? Hello? Anyone have an ear? Please hear what the Spirit is saying to you and share the knowledge. Get other people interested in learning their Hebraic roots. So, my question to you is your light shining? Light is meant to be shared, not hidden under a bushel or under a bed, so says Mark 4:21. I think that the bushel represents the cares of this life, that so consumes a person that his or her light is often eclipsed. Remember the virtuous woman of Proverbs 31? In verse 18, it says, "Whose lamp does not go out by night?" Again, there's more typology. Well, I'm hoping that you've enjoyed this so far, but we're going to have to close now. But I just want to say to you, if you're listening tonight and you've never made Jesus Lord over your life, there's a big tribulation coming, but you can escape the horrors of this, and I really do think it's soon, coming judgment, with just a simple but heartfelt prayer. Admit you are a sinner, repent, and just invite him into your spirit. Then let him have dominance over you instead of the very temporary God of this world. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing, number 6:22-27. Yet Barakka Adonai Vyashmarka, Yair Adonai Panah Veleka Vyaneka, Yasa Adonai Panah Veleka Vyasem Laha Shalom. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that great shalom. Till next time, sha'alu shalom, Yerushalayim. Pray for our president for sure, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Because those who love her, you're going to prosper in all ways. And you can read about that in Psalm 122, verse 6. Till next time, have a good, safe, blessed week. Tell someone about Jesus. Till next time, shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.